This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Well, preparing to live stream the meeting. Setting up for Facebook Live. No. Okay, go ahead.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome back to another live about Islam. My name is Nahila Morales, and today we are going to be touching on a very important topic. And I'm going to try to speak to an audience generally, but my talk will be geared more towards the new converts, the new Muslims, the new reverts. And so today we will be talking about Islam, Imam, and Isam. And I got a lot of the information off an article from the Yaqeen Institute. So inshallah, that's where you would be able to follow up, because it's very intense, it's very extensive, and it has a lot of great information, which I'm not really sure we'll be able to cover in 30 minutes, but I will try to do my best, inshallah. And oops, let me just mute this. One second. Okay. So let me just share this in a page or two. That way we can get and give time for others to join us. Alhamdulillah, I've started my master's degree in divinity. And so I'm very excited to connect with you today. I am based in Dallas, Texas. And so let's see, we are about to begin. Okay. So inshallah, many of us, when we think about Islam, we think about the five pillars of Islam, and we think that it ends there. Alhamdulillah, as human beings, we were created with an intent, a drive to seek out for a purpose. And Islam actually provides us that purpose, which is very wonderful. I can tell you, as a convert myself, as a revert, it was wonderful to finally find a place and understand what my purpose in life was. Islam provides that for us, alhamdulillah. But even more so, Islam is the outer, and that's the way it's mentioned in this article. It is the outer layer, and Islam, we understand that it's submission to the will of Allah, and the people that practice Islam are Muslims. And so when we think about Islam, we think about, like I mentioned, five pillars. What do those five pillars consist of? Those five pillars consist of the Shahada, the testimony of faith, that for many of us, it takes some time to get to that pivotal moment of accepting Islam as our way of life. And what I mean by that is, like, for example, for myself, it took approximately, I would say, a good 4 years altogether to finally say my Shahada, even though I started practicing prior to that. And so you build on, and for someone that is inquisitive, someone that is interested, someone that is trying to find their purpose, and someone that has come across Islam, obviously we have a lot of questions. And that's one of the beauties about Islam, that we are actually encouraged to ask these questions. We are encouraged to seek the knowledge. And so that's one of the things that I did. And I know that many of the reverts, many of the converts that I work with through Embrace, a project of IGNA, it's an organization that I co-founded. Many of us did take some time prior to taking that Shahada, the first pillar of Islam. After the Shahada comes prayer. And so this is the very first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be asking about on the Day of Judgment. So it's very important that you, as a new Muslim, even if you don't know how to pray in Arabic, you establish the prayer from the day that you embrace Islam. And why do I mention this? Because you are very vulnerable and many things will come your way where you will feel like it becomes too heavy to even practice. So it's very important that you allocate a place, a quiet place, a nice place, a clean place, and start your salat almost immediately after you embrace Islam. One of the things that I used to do is I would allocate that time and I would basically just make dua. I didn't know it was dua at the time, but I would make dua and I would supplicate to Allah to keep me guided and keep me on the straight path. And slowly I started learning the prayer. First, I learned it in English. So I highly encourage everyone to actually learn the prayers in your native tongue. This way, when you transition to the Arabic language, you understand and you feel what you are saying when you are praying, inshallah. So that's the second pillar. The second pillar is establishing our prayer. And our third pillar is Ramadan. Ramadan is the ninth month of the lunar calendar for us Muslims, and it falls approximately 10 days or so earlier each year. And so during the entire month, we fast from before sunrise to sunset. And this is something that we all look forward to as Muslims. And when Ramadan is getting ready to depart, we feel it because this is a time where it's a different type of spiritual connection, inshallah, which we'll talk a little bit further on. But Ramadan is a very special time for us. I know upon converting, many people question, are you sure you can't even drink water? And now it's a meme. Now everybody asks, you know, you're fasting, not even water. And that is correct. We don't, we abstain from food and water. And if you are married, obviously from sexual relationships, and during this time, you are trying to be the best. It's almost like a recharge. It's an opportunity to renew and establish new habits and make sure that you are feeding your soul and you are changing things that you don't like personally in order to reach a higher level of Ihsan, which we'll talk about, inshallah. So this talk is about, really, it's about a spiritual mountain, right? So we're talking right now about Islam, and I'm breaking it down with the five pillars. We're on pillar number three. So number one is Shahada. Number two is the prayer. Number three is Ramadan, the fasting during the month of Ramadan. So fasting during the month of Ramadan. Number four is this zakat. So zakat is 2.5 of your wealth, your annual wealth. And this is very important to also remember because as Muslims, we are not only instructed or we are, this is one of our pillars, but it also helps us become more humane and we come in touch with our communities and those around us, whether they're Muslim or not. And so that's very important to understand the zakat aspect of it, the 2.5 of the annual that is asked of us. Now here's a thing that if you don't have it, obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what we're capable of and what we're not. And therefore you will be on the receiving end. So a lot of people who are eligible for zakat will go to their local mosque or their Islamic centers and what have you, and they will be on the receiving end. So some of us will be able to give that zakat while others will be receiving that zakat. And the fifth pillar of Islam is the Hajj. This is done once in our lifetime, and it's really a journey of a lifetime. I was very blessed to perform the Hajj in 2018, and then an Umrah almost 2 years later, right before the shutdown of the pandemic, alhamdulillah. I can say that it changed my life forever. To be able to go to the places that our beloved Prophet and all of the other prophets that we read on a day-to-day basis, whether it's through books or whether it's in the Quran, it really is life-changing. And this is something I highly encourage everyone to make that initial intention, to make sure that, you know, you put it in your tongue, in your mind, in your heart, and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to invite you. And surely He will invite you when He knows that you are ready. When He knows that you are ready, because Hajj is not, it's not a vacation. It's not, it's hard. It's hard work, but it's very uplifting and very empowering, because when you overcome these things while you're doing this, these rituals, it really shows you what you're made of, right? And everything, when you do things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He facilitates everything for us. So these are the five pillars of Islam. And I wanted to start with that because Islam, like I said, it's an outer, right? It's an outward submission, like you saw. All of them, with the exception of one, you can see outside. Like when you go pray, when you say your shahada, you normally say it in front of people, and you have witnesses around you, for the most part. When you pray, obviously you're at a masjid or when you're outside, so people see you. When you give zakat, well, people will have a name for you if you gave zakat, and they will see you have to give up your wealth. And then the fifth pillar is Hajj. Now, I didn't mention fasting because that's the one pillar that is truly the inner. It's not an outer, because we are doing it, everything we do for the sake of Allah. But this one, only you and your Rabb, you and your Lord know that you are actually fasting. And I learned this very early on, and it was pretty fascinating because it is so true. We don't know when people are not fasting or fasting, or if they ate behind a closed door. So this is really beautiful that there is one pillar that it's between you and your Creator among all of them, but this one, it's not an outer, that you can actually see. This is obviously when you go break your fast, people know and notice that you were fasting. And as my son was growing up, that's one of the things I explained to him. You know, he started fasting when he was 5 in increments. So he would fast till 10 a.m., the next year to 11, and so on and so forth. By the age of 9, he himself was in a challenge with one of his friends who had fasted the entire day. And he put that challenge upon himself and said, I can fast. So when we compete for goodness, this is a good thing. And that's exactly what my son did. And ever since then, alhamdulillah, he's been fasting full days during Ramadan. And then we do an addition sunnah fasting, right? So like Mondays and Thursdays, or sometimes we do the white days, and that's additional, right? So these are all components, the extra prayers that I'm mentioning. They're all components to this beautiful spiritual mountain that we wanna always try to reach. And so when we understand and we're able to implement these five pillars to the best of our ability, then we're able to kind of move to the next thing. But even before I start talking about Iman, right, which means faith in Arabic, I want us to take a moment to think, right, especially us new converts. When you converted, you're on cloud 9. I know it was for myself, even though I went through some challenges, which I've mentioned in the past. I got fired for wearing the headscarf, and I had this boost, this amount of, I'm not sure if it was Iman at the time or faith, perhaps, but there was nothing that was going to take me out of that cloud 9. And I was just so content and so happy with the fact that I finally made this decision that I wanted to hold on to that with all of my might. And so when you're going through a roller coaster of emotions, a roller coaster of possible tests or trials, or I like to call them lessons, I don't see tests and trials as something bad. On the contrary, I see them as potential lessons for life. And so every time I'm going through something, I kind of step back and I kind of ask myself and, you know, do a checklist. What am I doing that I should be doing? And what am I doing that I shouldn't be doing? And it kind of coincides. And once you start checking things off, and I'll give you an example. You know, life is really, really busy. Life is getting back to normal now. Things have opened up, at least here in my city. And so before during the pandemic, we had time. We had time to pray on time. We had time to really connect with our loved ones. We were not going anywhere. So again, we were praying on time. We were getting up to pray. Ramadan was completely different. We were not running around from home to the masjid to Tarawih prayers. We had this time. And it was so beautiful, to be honest with you. I actually really enjoyed Ramadan during pandemic. Because for the first time, I was able to solidify, I was able to concentrate, I was really able to submerge myself in the practice of extra prayers, of that khushu, that concentration that sometimes we lack of when it gets really busy. And so it gets really busy, and we tend to put some of the most important things of our days off, and perhaps not off completely, but when the adhan comes in, that's an obligation that you have for yourself. Allah doesn't need our prayers, right? And we all know that Allah is capable and He doesn't need anything from us. We need from Him. And so this is what I mean. Like, are we putting everything on hold with the adhan goes off and go pray, or are we putting it off? And this is something that each and every one of us needs to work on bettering ourselves, on that connection, that spiritual connection. And when you're going through that list, that's one of the things you want to check off. Am I praying on time? Am I doing my obligation prayers? Because I've mentioned this in the past. There's individuals, there's brothers and sisters who jump into sunnah prayer or other prayers with the prayer or what have you, but they're not doing the obligation prayers. And so that's why I mentioned towards the beginning about the second pillar of Islam, which is going to be asked during the Day of Judgment, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to question us about our salah. Furthermore, we want to work towards, as you're checking off this list, we want to work on our khushu. The minute that you say Allahu Akbar, are you concentrated? Are you focused? Are you submerged to speaking to your Lord? This is five times a day that we have the opportunity to talk to our Lord, to ask of Him, to cry to Him, to connect with Him, to get to know Him. And so when you say Allahu Akbar, do you start thinking about sisters, about if you left the stove on? Brothers, are you thinking if you paid the bill that was due 2 days ago? This is the khushu that we are talking about when you're going through this checklist, right? When you say Allahu Akbar and you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we wanna get to the level on this spiritual mountain of complete distractions are gone. Now is 5, 10, 15 minutes, however long it takes you for your salah, that you're going to focus. You're going to focus and you're going to put all of your attention to this moment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always encouraged for us to pray as if it were our last prayer. If we actually prayed every salat this way, then we would gain that khushu that we all are desiring and all want to achieve in our lifetime. So it's really important for us to focus on this pillar soon after coming into Islam. Again, our days are counted. We don't know when our expiration, when that day will come where we will die. And so this is, we're going to have to break this down in probably three sessions, or possibly even more. I'm not really sure. But I think this is very important for us to really talk about each and every one of them, to where we understand and we get to know who our Creator is and what is truly our purpose in life, and what truly it means to practice this beautiful way of life, which is Islam. So we know that, you know, Islam is very clear when it comes to do's and don'ts. It's very clear when we know that we believe in Tawheed, right? Like oneness of God, that's it. I always say that I am a better Catholic as a Muslim, and I'll explain this now that I am a Muslim than when I was a Catholic. So for those of you that may not know, the Ten Commandments were given to Prophet Moses, Musa, alayhi salam. And so in those Ten Commandments, the first commandment is to worship Allah alone without associating any partners. And that is the one thing that we are instructed as Muslims, to never associate anything or anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the one thing that Allah will not forgive, shirk. Right? Associating partners, associating anything, whether it's your horoscope, whether it's the little blue eye, whether it's, there's so many things that people put their faith in. We are supposed to abstain from that. We should put all of our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our tawakkul should be solely for Allah. And so as a Muslim, I only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Him alone. So this is why I say that I'm a better Catholic as a Muslim, because in Catholicism, we worship everything under the sun. You know, there's saints and there's, you know, human beings that are turned into saints, like Pope John II. He, I believe, is now a saint or is going through that process. And so we are supposed to not associate anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why I say this. Now, subhanAllah, you know, when we talk about Islam, we talk about all the beautiful things that we have been given. And one of those is, like I mentioned, the purpose of our existence. It's very clear. And it's wonderful to not navigate through this world, not knowing what your purpose is. And so for us who have embraced Islam, or even those who were born into the faith, you have a choice every morning when you wake up in the morning to practice your faith. And so this goes full across, that every single one of us has a choice, whether you were born into the faith or whether you converted. You have a choice to practice your deen. You have a choice to pray your five daily prayers. You have a choice to abstain from anything that is harmful to your body, whether it's alcohol, you know, cigarettes and what have you. You know, or anything that is going to harm the temple, this body that has rights over you that Allah has gifted temporarily, right, in this life. And so, you know, the Prophet was asked, but Angel Gabriel, he was asked, tell me about Islam. And so in a hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Islam is to testify that there is no truly God but Allah, and that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is a messenger of Allah, to establish prayer, to give charity, to fast during the month of Ramadan, and to perform the Hajj to the house if one is able to, right? If one can find the way. So basically, if you are healthy and you're able to, if you have the means and you're able to, otherwise, obviously Allah knows our condition. So in this hadith, it's everything that I spoke about in terms of what is Islam. And so it's so important that when we think about our faith, we don't pick and choose. Islam doesn't need us. You know, the best way to defend Islam is to actually practice it. And so the best way to do that is by learning about your faith, learning about what are your obligations, not jumping over what you don't like and choosing. So that is very important when it comes to what is Islam. The other thing about Islam, when we come into the faith, you know, we are so excited. We want to tell everyone. We want to. I remember the first time I went to Mexico, I was so ready to just share and convey the message of Islam. But if we don't know what Islam truly represents, and we're not practicing the faith, then how are we able to be the best ambassadors of Islam? Because essentially that's what we are. We are all ambassadors of this beautiful way of life, and we have responsibility upon it, upon each other, and make sure that we are always representing the faith to the best of our ability. Now, aside from the five pillars of Islam, there are six articles of faith. And I'm just going to go really quick because I only have a few minutes. Again, we're going to continue this conversation, inshallah. I hope it is of benefit. But the six articles of faith, again, it's the Shahada. It's believing in all the prophets that came prior. It's the books that came down. You know, we know that the Torah was given to Musa alayhi salam, the Injil to Isa alayhi salam, and the Quran to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. We believe in predestination. We believe in the angels. And I mentioned the Shahada and the Day of Judgment. So inshallah, because I'm running out of time and I just want to make sure that I say everything that I need to say, we have to understand that no Muslim can actually advance in spirituality until they hereby the basic, again, the basic practices of Islam, right? Which is these five pillars and six articles of faith, inshallah. And so we need to make sure that we do what is obligation before we jump into anything else. I think I'm going to go ahead and stop here simply because there is so much to cover. But I do want to continue this conversation. I think during our next session, we'll talk about Iman, which is faith, and how we can try to maintain our Iman in this spiritual mountain as high as we can. There are certain things that we can do, inshallah, to make sure that it doesn't dip all the way down. Iman is like a roller coaster. It will go up and down, but there are certain techniques and certain tools that we'll talk about in our next conversation, inshallah, where we will be able to discuss and hopefully give you these tools. So next time you are going through some hardship, or you're going through a test or a trial, you're able to remember that there is hope at the end of the tunnel, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden us with anything that we cannot handle. Lastly, before I leave, remember that with hardship, with, not after, but with hardship comes ease. Until next time, Jazakallah khair. I pray that this was beneficial. Anything I said that was good is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that I said that was a mistake, please forgive me. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me. Until next time, take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.